Time to talk fishing in the great outdoors with Gary Engberg of Mazamani, Wisconsin, professional fisherman and guide. He's also an outdoor photographer, a columnist, a co-host of a Madison-based radio show. It's called Outdoors Horizons. I've listened to it, and you may have as well. If you have a question as we talk fishing here, any kind of fishing, as a matter of fact, we're not just reserving this for professional fishermen here. We're reserving this. We're opening it up to everybody. Let's put it that way. So maybe you've never fished, or maybe you've want to get back into it. Maybe you've got some children that you want to get started on fishing, or maybe you've been somebody who's been out there fishing like Gary and I for many a year. Join us at 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. Gary, welcome back.
Thank you, Larry. It's a pleasure to be here.
How's the fishing?
Well, depends on where you want to go. You really don't have, Larry, you don't have to leave the state of Wisconsin to have great fishing
No.
about anything. And that's kind of what I concentrate so much on now. I mean, if a person wants, you know, like deep sea fishing, you have your charter fishing on Lake Michigan, Lake Superior. You know, you have tremendous muskie fishing, smallmouth, your basses, walleye, panfish. There's no reason at all to ever leave Wisconsin. And especially now with kind of a, you know, maybe in a little economic crunch, it's a very, very cheap way. It can be very, very inexpensive to a family to get involved in fishing. And there's so many great, you know, facilities and great opportunities, even just in the Madison area and statewide. It's great.
It is absolutely great. You spent a few days fishing in a tournament in the Bay of Green Bay. What was that experience?
Green Bay is a fantastic fishery. It used to be people just went up there to catch a little bit of, you know, a few perch. But now it's a great fishery for most species. I fished in a tournament from a new group. It's called Anglers Insight Marketing, or AIM. And they have a whole new format, which I think is going to revolutionize fishing, because it takes out some of the complaints that people might have had about tournament fishermen. What everyone does is there's a standardized, to begin with, the group was formed by a bunch of professional anglers, some of the top-notch walleye pros in the whole United States, invested money, formed their own corporation. But the boats go out. Everyone has a standardized ruler that is the same. And then every boat has two digital high-def cameras. You and your partner put your fish on your ruler. You agree on the measurement. You take a video of it. You take a quick picture of it on your digital camera, and you mark the fish down on your scorecard, and you release it. So you don't have any problems with fish dying in your live well. There's no problem with where you would travel. Maybe it was to a state that would have different regulations. You don't have to worry about that. And the main thing is those fish are still going to be there for the people, and you're not going to be taking their fish. And I think that's a new wave of the future. But it's called catch, record, release. And they've been doing it with muskies for a while. Now it's coming with walleyes, and I think it's really going to revolutionize fishing.
I think it's a great idea as well. And did you have any luck?
Yeah, we did okay. I mean, I know, matter of fact, a local young boy, Robert Blauser, he's 30 years old, but from Poinette, ended up in second place. I fished on the co-angler side. I ended up in 15th place, and I was pretty happy. Caught a lot of fish. And people, if you want to go up to Green Bay, it's a fantastic fishery. You can go right out of downtown Green Bay, go out a mile or two, and be catching fish.
Well, let's see. Tim in Madison has a question for you, I believe. Tim, hello to you.
Yeah, hi, Larry and Gary. I'd like to ask, I'm doing good. I'd like to ask Gary about walleye fishing at Castle Rock in the Piedmont Flowage.
Yeah.
Better have a lot of baits.
Yeah, it's new to me, so I want to ask you what you think about a planer board.
Yeah, that's
planer board on Castle Rock Lake.
Castle Rock and Peatonwell, both, if people don't know, are impoundments of the Wisconsin River, and you have dams at both ends. Big bodies of water, a lot of sunken timber, a lot of sunken wood, and that's why I say you better have a lot of baits, because I don't care, even with the GPS and doing your different runs, you still get hung up a lot. But planer boards are the way to go there. If people don't know what planer boards are, it's a device you attach to your line. It's got a ballast in it, a piece of foam, and you hook your line to it. There's two clips on each end. It'll take your line. All it does is take your line out to the side. It spreads out your line. So in Wisconsin, where we can use you know, three lines. Minnesota's a state, you can only have one line per person. You can spread out your, you know, your lines. If you have two people on the boat, you could ideally run six lines. You can spread this out so you can cover the water column from top to bottom, putting out your different lures at different depths. So, you know, once you find fish, let's say you catch two or three fish on the same rod, then you'd switch all your rods, you know, over to that same depth that you're fishing.
Okay, and can you just tell me a couple lures to use, or no?
I would suggest Rapala Shad Wraps, number 5, number 7. Wally Divers are excellent in the same size. Mann's makes a very good bait in their Stretch series. You want basically a shad-type bait that's with your forage base is usually going to be gizzard shad in those areas, or young-of-the-year fish. Colors I suggest would be natural colors, which would be like black and white, perch, fire tiger. Those are the colors I'd stick with, or maybe blue and gold, or blue and orange belly, blue and silver.
Maybe. All right, well, thank you very much.
Good luck, but just, you know, get out there and try it. There's a book called Precision Trolling Guide. You can find it in most stores. It'll give you the dive curve. So let's say you're using a number 5 Rapala. If you let out 100 feet, it'll tell you exactly how deep that lure is going to run. And you also can match up the pictures in the book are the same size as your lures, so even if you don't know what you have, you can match it up with a picture. And this is based upon 10-pound test mono and going about a mile and a half. So you know exactly how much line you have. And if you don't have, they make line counter reels now where you can, which will meter how much line you let out. If you have a bait casting reel or whatever you're using, just measure like what a foot would be on your fishing rod, if nothing else, so you can do how many pulls out, so you know how deep your lure is running.
That's the way to do it. And especially on the Peatonwell side there.
Yeah. And also people are doing that now. They're using planer boards now for muskies a lot and all the big fish. And as talk about Green Bay right now, Larry, the minimum size for muskies is 54, and they're trying to raise it up to 56. And 50-inch muskies are common.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
They say the next world record will be out of Green Bay.
I would not doubt it a bit. Abigail in Middleton, we'll turn to you now. Hi, Abigail.
Hi there.
Hi.
I'm a mom of two little boys who are telling me they want to learn fishing and go fishing, but I have no idea where to even start with children. I wasn't even sure like what Google search to find out. I've been told that there are like these ponds where like they have the fishing rods for the kids to fish at, and I was just wondering where I could find what resources for.
Okay, a couple weeks ago, I'll tell you a great resource would be the Yahara Fishing Club in Madison. They do have a website. And it's a group of, you know, all different ages. A couple weeks ago, they had their fishing day out at the Warner Park Lagoons where they gave away 350 rods and reels, you know, to children and gave them lunch. And the DNR has stocked a lot of the ponds in the Madison area. The Alliant Energy Center has fish in the ponds there, Warner Park Lagoon. But I would look on the website for the Yahara Fishing Club, contact someone there and tell them exactly your situation, because there's a lot of people out there who would like to help you and would like to get more children involved. And the best thing is that, you know, get those kids involved at an early age. You can buy a kid a rod and a reel these days for $10 or $12, you know, and basically it's pretty inexpensive to start fishing. You know, another thing they can do is after it rains, let them go out at night and collect some night crawlers. And it doesn't have to be expensive, but if you have trouble finding a site, contact me on my website, and that's www.GaryEngberg.com, and I'll set you up and find you someone who can help you.
Absolutely. Yahara Fisherman's Club does a lot of really good work, and they really do want to get young kids out there fishing.
Matter of fact, tonight, Tuesday night, they have, I think their meeting is at the VFW on Lakeside Street, and anyone is welcome to come.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And Dan in Wanakee, on to you now. Hi, Dan.
Hey, I had a question. I was out fishing the other day, and we tried these nitro crawlers. They're chartreuse. And I was wondering how much the color of the crawlers actually factored into the catch.
It can. Colors do make a difference. You're trying, usually, your colors that you use, you want to match something that's the forage base or what the fish in the area or that lake happen to be feeding on. So colors do make a difference as far as attracting fish. As far in night crawlers, One of the good baits right now is called Power Bait. It's made by Pure Fishing or Berkeley, and another product they make is called Gulp, and they're both artificial. They're biodegradable. They're made out of, they have fish scent in them, and they're very good to try. So I would just try some of these various products, and color does make a difference.
Okay, it does. All right.
But I would have my, you know, I would try natural, and I would, you know, if you're not catching fish with what they're using, try something else and keep experimenting until you find something that works.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Somebody wondered how sensitive fish are to changes in water temperature that, like, the heat wave can bring up.
I can tell you firsthand. Up in Green Bay, when we first started fishing there, water temperature was almost 80 degrees. We had the cold front go in. Water dropped anywhere from 15 to 20 degrees in a matter of a couple of days. And especially on a lake system, river systems are different because river fish have to feed every day regardless just to keep with metabolism and to maintain their weight. But when you get into other bodies of water, usually what it's going to do is going to totally shut down your fish for a day or two. And usually even maybe even a third day, you're going to have a front go through. Weather is going to stabilize for a day or two, and then your fishing will get better. But cold weather and fronts going through are some of the main things that can really shut off your fishing.
Gary Engberg, our guest today of Mazamani, professional fisherman and guide, as we talk with him about fishing and the great outdoors here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking fishing in the great outdoors today with Gary Engberg of Mazamani, Wisconsin, a professional fisherman and guide. He's been a regular on our show for a long time. He's also an outdoor photographer, columnist, co-hosts a Madison-based radio show called Outdoor Horizons. And his email is, or I'm sorry, his website is Gary Engberg Outdoors. Is that correct?
Outdoors.com. And you can send me any questions you have, and I'll try and set you or put you in the right direction.
Let's go to Mike in West Bend next. Mike, hello.
Hi. This is a great show. You got a great guest. I can tell the guy really knows what he's talking about. I'm a brook trout fisherman. I haunt the UP most of the time. But this fall, I'm going to take a hunting and fishing float down that lower Wisconsin River.
Yep.
Down through that whole area down there. We've never been down there. And I was wondering what I could expect on that river besides smallies.
A mixed bag of basically anything. Stop by my backyard. You'll probably go right by me.
Okay.
I live on the lower Wisconsin.
All right.
Where are you gonna launch from?
You know, I really don't know. I plan on coming back from my bull hunting elk trip. And as soon as I get back, I got the big John boat loaded and...
Okay, a good
spot. Maps are going to float down. Any suggestions?
A good spot would be to put in it. There's a boat landing on Highway Y, which is between Sauk City and Mazamani, right next to Black Hawk River Runs, which is a canoe rental base.
Okay.
A nice public boat landing. There were two landings there, and there was one older landing, which was a little bit steep, but they put in a very, very nice new landing.
All right. Thanks.
And you got to remember, out of the total fish mass in the Wisconsin River, 80-90% of it is rough fish. But
right.
That you're going to run into, you know, you might catch 7-8 different species.
Right.
Besides, like you said, smallmouth, you can find the river now is low right now. The lower the flow, you'll find some largemouth. You'll get walleyes, you'll get saugers, you'll get some pike, muskies. You fish the slower backside of islands. You'll even run into bluegills and panfish. And a lot of catfish, a lot of sheephead, and some rough fish that I'm not even sure.
Okay, and Larry, I just like to tell you, this is why you need a hunting and fishing show every week.
I tell you what,
and here's the guy ready for it.
That's right, because all the political issues in this state, and get rid of some of those other, you know, ho-hum, yawning things on NPR, and get the fishing and hunting shows on.
But the other thing I would recommend is, with a lot of the new live bait this time of year is excellent, works very well. Night crawlers are tough to beat, but with the VHS now, you can't seine or net your own minnows, so you have to buy and then dump them. But I would suggest trying some of these new products like the Berkeley Power Bait and Gulp, and they seem to work real well, and they make them in minnows, night crawlers, and about anything, and it'll save some of the mess too of having worm bedding.
Yeah.
I was going to combine a fishing trip and, you know, and right after when duck hunting opens,
you'll have
some ducks and hunt, do some fishing.
There will be no one on the river. You'll have it all to yourself. You'll have, I've had otters and beavers in my backyard this year. I'll have eagles roosting in my trees. You won't have a better trip.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling, Mike. Appreciate your call. Well, we have lots of callers on. Let's go to Don in Columbus, I think, is next. Your turn, Don. Hi.
Hi there. I got a quick question on set lines. I remember back when I was 10, you know, or whatever, on Winnebago, my dad always had set lines out there and for catfish. And I wonder if that's legal anymore. Does anybody do it? What do you need to do to...
It is still legal to do. They do a lot of it, matter of fact, on the lower Wisconsin River. I have a fishing regulations book in front of me right now, and I don't have the section open. But you are, you're allowed to use, you can use a set line. I would just get a hold of the fishing regulations and look it up, but they use, a lot of guys use it down in my area for catfish, and they'll use like smaller bullheads and roughfish as their bait. And a lot of people will even use, you know, if they can find a good willow branch, you know, right close to shore, they'll even use that as their, you know, rod. Mm-hmm. But it's still a practice that, I think maybe is a dying art, but you will see a lot of old timers on the river still doing it.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Charlie in Madison, your turn now. Hi, Charlie.
Hey, Larry. I've got a couple of questions for you. The first one is a fish behavior question.
Okay.
I was sitting in my boat off B.B. Clark Beach where the water discharges.
Okay.
You know, MG&E discharges their warm water.
Yeah.
And I was looking out across the lake, and I saw something swimming towards me. And I stared at it, and what it was it was the mouth of a large northern. And he would swim about 3 feet and then open his mouth, and he was breaching the surface with his mouth. And I watched him do this for 200 or 300 feet until he got about 30 yards from my boat, at which case I started casting towards him because I recognized what he was. And once I got the plug land near him, he disappeared. What the heck? Almost like a swimmer who's doing the breaststroke. You know how a swimmer will come up to take a breath and then go back down? That's what he looked like. What the heck was that fish doing?
What I think possibly could have been, a lot of times fish will take a little, when they're feeding, they'll eat something that's maybe a little bit too big for them, and they might get it caught, you know, in their throat, or they might have, it might not go down. It might be sideways. And that would be the thing I would see, because a lot of times I've seen fish up on the surface where they'll have, you know, like too big of a fish in their mouth and they're actually choking on it.
So he's trying to gack it out.
Probably trying to gack it out or to get it down.
I'll be darned. All right, well, that was the one question. The other thing was, I got an email from some clown on the internet who's selling something called a crappie secret weapon. This thing is some sort of an electronic device. You hook to a battery, you lower it over the side of your boat, and it generates a cloud of zooplankton, which then generates a cloud of minnows, which then generates a cloud of crappies. You ever heard of this?
I've heard of similar type devices. A lot of places will have a fluorescent light that they'll lower down, especially in some places where they do a lot of night fishing, because that'll, like, ideally it's going to attract bugs and insects, which are going to bring in smaller fish, which will bring in your larger fish. I do a little bit of research on it, because a lot of the things that I see on the internet are maybe just trying to get you.
And Lord knows I've got a box full of lures I've never caught anything on, so I'm a sucker.
Well, who isn't? I have thousands of lures, and I never have the right one. You know, every time I'm fishing, I have to get that one other one.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling. Yeah, I almost hate to think of the money I have invested in musky lures.
Well, I was going to say, musky lures are a little pricey.
Oh, man. I've got boxes and boxes full. And you're right. You never have the right one.
You need another color.
You need another color of the same one. Dave in Rockford, Illinois. On to you now. Hi, Dave. We got Dave there? Oh, maybe we just lost Dave. Might have just lost him. You can join in with your question, by the way, at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or email us at talk@wpr.org. We'd love to hear from you. Got some open lines. We'll get you on pretty quickly here. Todd and DePere, we'll turn to you now. Hi, Todd.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
We're going to try to do a little fishing today on Winnebago off of High Cliff State Park.
Yes.
And what we usually do, we troll and we use offshore boards, planer boards, and we pull shad wraps, wally divers, or thunder sticks. And we catch fish, but not like a lot of my friends at work. And I'm just wondering what I'm doing wrong. Is it colors, depths, or any tricks? Usually we go out from Hyksos Park because it's a northeast wind. It's a little calmer.
And the fish is, for some reason, it seems this year, there's been a lot of fish up in the northern end of Winnebago. I would, depending on your wind, if you have a wind blowing into that shore, that's going to be good. I would make sure that either, if I don't know what you have as far as electronics go, or I would get myself a very good map which marks your contours, because that's what the areas you want to really be fishing. You're using the right baits, because shad wraps work very well. Junior thundersticks work very well. I would try some of the flicker shads. Flicker shad's very close to a Rapala, but they're even probably about half the price. They work very well. Stick with color-wise, I'd have perch, I'd have a natural color, a clown, which is like a yellow body and a red head, works very well. The crayfish color Rapala, which would be gold, which is a copper colored, looks like a crayfish, would be very good. I would make sure on your board, you know, when you spread your lines out, make sure that you got everything running at a different depth in that water column. You don't want every lure of yours running at the same exact depth, because a lot of times you're going to find fish on Winnebago, you know, you're only talking about the deepest water 20 feet. So a lot of times you have water up in the top couple feet of the water column, and you're not going to see those fish in your electronics. So try running a lure way up top sometimes, and that'll work. And experiment. If you're running behind your board, let's say you're running 50 feet, you know, start run 25, 35, 45, 55. So then you're going to cover that water column pretty good. And then also, too, when you're trolling, never troll in a straight line, because a lot of times fish are just going to follow. If you troll like in an S pattern, you're going to have lures constantly speed up when you turn, and the lures on the other side are going to stall out and slow down. And sometimes this will really work and attract fish, and it'll trigger their, you know, it'll trigger them to strike. So those are about the only things I could do. Vary your speed. Don't troll in a straight line. Try different colors. Keep experimenting. Because those fish on Winnebago, it's a great fishery. You got a big lake, but those pods of fish will move around from day to day, and you just have to keep moving till you find them.
Well, you did mention the wind, and we were out there last night. It was quite windy yesterday. We fished from early evening till about 11 o'clock at night. The wind was out of the northwest, and we were in the middle of the lake in the early hours, then we moved to the east shore where that wind was, the waves were pounding over there. And I had heard that would be a good thing to try.
It should be, because you know that's going to be bringing in your smaller fish and your bait fish. And if you can find that spot where you'll have a mud line between your clear water and the water that's been stirred up from the wind, that transition area in there, you'll find fish a lot of times right in that little zone there, because they're in that cloudier water, and then they'll see something in the clearer water. So try and find, it's called your mud line, and it should be very, very distinct on the lake.
Well, clear water on Winnebago is pretty hard to find.
Yeah, especially right now when she warmed up, and she was way up there close to 80 and then dropped a whole bunch too, and you do have a tremendous algae bloom. But those fish there's been a real good bite of fish out from the mouth of Oshkosh where the Fox dumps in there, and they've been catching about a mile and so out in the mud flats. Most of your fish are going to be out in the mud flats right now. And have you had any mayfly hatches lately?
I haven't been out there lately. Earlier in the year, there was.
Okay,
last night there wasn't.
Because when you have a mayfly hatch and the fish are sucking bugs, it makes any type of fishing hard.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And when you say the flats, the middle of the lake, it would be considered?
Yeah, I would start maybe down Asylum Bay, and then if you're on the west shore, and work my way up. On where you are on the east shore, start at Calumet Harbor and then work up toward High Cliff, or go from High Cliff and work down to Calumet Harbor.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling. Mark in Onalaska, we're on to you now. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
Say, I wanted to mention, it sounded as though you had some callers earlier trying to get children involved in fishing.
Yes.
Looking for those opportunities. Just wanted to mention, here in the La Crosse area, coming up on July 18th, that's a Saturday, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., there's a youth outdoor fest with free admission entry for everyone at the Pettibone Park Lagoon. We're going to have activities that include fishing, learning skills about camping, hiking, archery, canoeing, kayaking. We've got speakers from federal and state agencies, La Crosse Park and Recreation, Trout Unlimited. It's just a great opportunity to get children involved in the outdoors, including fishing.
And like you said, it's, I mean, like I said before, you got to get those kids involved earlier. You get them involved and interested at an early age, and then you're going to have them hooked for the rest of their life. Because once kids get, you know, get to be older and in their teens, it's hard to get them involved.
That's right. So, yeah.
What's the date again for that?
It's July 18th.
Okay.
From 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Pettibone Park Lagoon in La Crosse.
All right.
Okay, I know there's a couple other events now. This coming weekend here in the Madison area at Governor Nelson State Park, Fishing Has No Boundaries, which is a fantastic group started out of Hayward, Wisconsin, with chapters all over the United States. It's for physically challenged people. They're going to be having their event out of Governor Nelson, and it's a great place. Go over there and watch and see what a fantastic time some of these people who only get a chance to go on the water once or twice a year have. And then also July 25th, that's a Saturday. The Wilderness Fish and Game Store in Sauk City is having, it's called Take an Adult Fishing Tournament. You can fish anywhere you want. It's a one-day deal, a lot of great prizes, a lot of great things to do, and it's a great event for the whole family. Very few rules. It's on an honor system, and it's a great event. And that would be the 25th. Call up Wilderness Fish and Game. Their number would be 608-643-2433. Great thing for the family to do.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling, Mark. Appreciate your call. Ben in Wanakee, we'll go to you now. Hi, Ben.
Hey, Larry. Hey, Gary.
I know, Ben.
How you doing?
Good.
Good. I'm giving you a call because I know you don't like to toot your own horn, but I'm giving a call for all your listeners and just to let everyone know that Gary is a very faithful supporting sponsor of the Lake Delton Fisheries Restoration Project, and due in part to his hard work and in keeping the information kind of top of mind for the public, this project has raised over $330,000 so far.
Well, for people who don't know, Ben Hobbins and Dan Small got together, and it's almost a year ago to the day when Lake Delton had their breach and lost all their water, and Ben got together, I think, the next week with a group of people and started the restoration project, and it was kind of culminated earlier in the spring. They stocked Lake Delton with forage bass and minnows, and then a couple Tuesdays ago, Matt Frank and the DNR and Governor Doyle and everyone was up there, and they put walleyes in the lake and had the official reopening. And it's just great to see something go from a mud puddle to a beautiful lake again.
Yeah
well, thanks. And that's why I'm calling, because you're not going to thank yourself. Knowing you, you're about as modest as they come. So a public thanks to you, Gary, for your support and for your support also of our product. So I appreciate it.
Thanks, Ben.
Thanks, Ben. Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call as well. We and that Lake Delton project is a great project.
Oh, I mean, if you saw it, I was there the day afterward and did a little video, and I mean, it was, all you saw was wood and mud, and then within a year to have it back booming again, and the difference in the town and the tourist business. I had people send me emails saying, I used to go there when I was a kid, and they were, you know, almost, you could see they had tears in their eyes when they saw what the photos looked like after last year. But it's up and running again, and come to Wisconsin and the Dells.
Speaking of the Dells, Steve in Cudahy has a question, I believe, that relates to that. Steve, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate this. Great show.
Thank you.
Say, years ago, I used to live in Mauston. I used to fish an area of the Wisconsin River between the Highway 82 bridge and north, just south, downstream from the Castle Rock Dam. And there was, I guess my question is, are there fish that make audible sounds when you're out there fishing? Because I've heard on several different spots where there's this rocky outcrop where there's a constant and continuous clicking, like you're taking two small rocks and tapping them together. I can hear them through the aluminum boat hull, and sometimes in the summer months we used to stand and wade in tennis shoes out there and fish for smallmouth. What do you know about that?
Well, you kind of got me maybe on that one. The only things I can think of, it could be there are in some areas where you do have zebra mussels, you could have fish or you could have fish, like I know sheephead will eat zebra mussels, which could give you a crunching noise. And also, too, you could have crayfish. which could be making that noise.
Crayfish might do it too, sure.
You know, those are about the only two things I could think of. I don't know if there's any communication between fish saying, get away from this guy. But,
crayfish make a clicking sound or...
They could. They could make any type of noise or maybe even, you know, like a fish, like a smallmouth or something like that when they're hitting
them. It's just like a tap, 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 and then be silence for a few seconds and then it'd come back. And sometimes you hear it about 50 feet away.
Uh-huh.
And you can,
it's that loud.
If you're wading in the water waist deep, you can actually feel the impulse like a tiny shock.
Send me an email with that or something like that, and I'll do some research and see if I can find something out.
I'll try to wait for the DNR guy to come back on. I can't remember his name, and then maybe I'll get a call into him, too. Maybe he knows something
Mike
about
Staggs
that.
Mike Staggs would be a good guy to get a hold of, or Kurt Welke.
Yeah, there you go. Thanks a lot for calling. And Larry in Elkhorn, your turn. Hi, Larry.
Hi. See, I'm just calling that guy that spoke a few minutes ago about seeing the northern porpoising. I've been fishing for 50 years, and I never saw it till about 5 years ago, and it's almost become quite common on Lake Geneva. Almost every time I go out, I'll see at least one. And like he mentioned, they'll go 100, 200, 300 feet with their head out of the water, mouth open. And besides Lake Geneva, I've seen it on Delavan. But like I say, the first time I saw it was probably 5 years ago. And I don't have any explanation for it. It was quite a topic on one of the internet sites a couple years ago because a lot of guys were seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
But I've even seen it a couple of times on Pewaukee and Okeechee with muskies. Yeah.
I could also, beside maybe having something that they were having trouble swallowing, maybe that fish was caught and maybe was having trouble breathing too could be another explanation. Mm-hmm. Especially like you're talking about a body of water like Delavan or Geneva that's heavily fished with a lot of fishermen.
Mm-hmm. In fact, one of the times I saw it, there were two of them almost together. They were within 10 feet of each other, and it just looks odd. It looks like they're on the prowl, but with their face out of the water. It's the oddest looking thing you ever saw.
I think we need some fishing decoys now.
I think we do. I'd like to... We'll have to look into that and see if we can come up with some answers for the next time Gary's on. Because I've seen muskies. Muskies, you routinely see them, up on top.
And the other thing, too, is if you're up on Lake Winnebago, a lot of times in the summer, especially when you have hatches, you'll be fishing, it'll be quiet, and all of a sudden you'll have a 6 or 7 foot sturgeon porpoise next to you, chasing bugs. So, I don't have any idea, really.
I don't know either. Tom in Columbus, quick one from you.
Yeah, first of all, thank you, Mr. Engberg. I reached out to you a while back, and you gave me some info on getting an old motor repaired, and I got to the guy and got it done. So thanks.
You're welcome.
You gentlemen touched on it as far as Lake Delton, but I just kind of want to remind people, again, this wonderful resource we've got, these fisheries in Wisconsin, is due in part to organizations like the O'Hara Fishermen's Club and the Dane County Conservation League and all these other groups. And with the funding getting tight, feel free to kick these groups and join these groups because it does help preserve this wonderful resource we have here. Just lost Dad. He was a lifelong member of both of those groups, along with the Isaac Walton League, et cetera, et cetera. And really take advantage of it, people, and help these groups out because they do a lot of work. They do stocking. They do tons of things. And, again, Mr. Engberg knows what he's talking about, folks. And, he, again, is part of that resource that we've got right at our fingertips. So.
And I'll tell you what you do need now is we have so many baby boomers, me included. We need young blood. We need young people in these groups, too. We're losing a lot of people are getting older. You've got to get young people involved.
Absolutely. And, Tom, I thank you very much for that call. And Gary, once again, boy, the time really flipped by here.
Well, make it 2 hours.
Yeah, we got to make it 2 hours. Gary Engberg of Mesa Mania. Go on to his website. It's Gary Engberg. Outdoors.com, Gary Engberg, Outdoors.com, and Engberg is spelled E-N-G-B-E-R-G.
And I will get back to you with whatever question you may have.
Thanks again, Gary.
Thanks, Larry.
And Gary will be back, and we will do this again. It's always great fun to have him. Tomorrow, Adrian Weideven of the DNR will be along with Tim Van Dielen to talk about their new book on the recovery of gray wolves in the western Great Lakes states. Stay with us. Lots in store.